Those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening, Northern California. This is Nigel and James. James, you want to tell them the date? I was there wrong.
Today is April 12th.
April 12th.
Wednesday, April 12th, 2023.
And it had warmed up, but now it's nice and cool again.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Right?
That one day of heat already, I was just raging.
Yeah.
That
was nice to get out that
I
day.
Would say this is the perfect weather.
Today is sure.
We have Brandon with us from Running Buzz. Garrett.
Hello.
Garrett.
Thank you.
Say hello.
Hello. Howdy. There you go, my native tongue. Howdy.
And Yvonne is with us.
Hello.
Like a regular gang here. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Doing great.
I think we
hanging in there.
That's not what we said at the break.
Yeah, it's not. I was like, everybody's kind of hanging in there right now. Yeah, we're still
we're all
alive.
Hanging in there.
Yes, but were you able to get your tickets to the Dalai Lama Children's Hour?
No, not even. I saw, but
oh,
I'm not
I saw that last night.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that was too much.
I thought it was a joke.
Wait, the real Dalai Lama?
And then I actually watched it.
Yeah,
and wait, I was what? Like, "What did he just ask?"
Yeah, I'm with James. I saw some
Liam. Did you
kind
not see this?
Around.
Did you not see
like,
this?
No.
There's a child.
Poor Liam. He didn't see the.
So what was the story with that? There was a. I don't know.
Child sitting on his lap.
Yeah, but for what reason? Was it just?
Well, you'll find out because.
I mean, I know that he asked for a kiss on the cheek, right? And then he asked. I said.
Then he asked the boy to suck his tongue.
After he kissed him on the
lips. That's a little weird. He asked the little boy to suck his tongue.
Are you serious?
Cultural differences.
Cultural
differences.
The commentator that brought it up. On a show last night, he could almost not recite it. He said, "I am so embarrassed, I can barely even talk about this."
Embarrassing is disgusting. God. It makes me want to vomit.
So it's just so a bad. Cultural difference. Is that what we say what happens when Biden? No?
Well, that's what they had said was like if that had been the Pope.
He wouldn't be the Pope anymore.
Or a rabbi.
Been anybody else.
Well, the Pope, see, the Pope is smart about it because he doesn't do it in public.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Lord.
You know, oh, yeah, too much teasing.
Off to a great show. Great show.
Well, it's been a crazy week, right?
It has.
Yeah. Well, we can get to some of that stuff later because personally, I believe that the Trump indictment kicked off the era of declassification.
Yes.
And so all this stuff is going to come out on all these people, right?
You mean like all the tongue suckers?
All of them. Did you see this morning Elon's interview with the journalist of the BBC?
The BBC.
Yeah, that's worth a watch.
Boy, he was like a dog on a bone.
Huh?
Elon was like a dog on a bone.
That was like the perfect little interview.
Yeah, he really challenged him to,
you're a liar.
To cite some examples of hatred that he's seeing. And
yeah.
Could not do it.
That was actually pretty good.
And what a dummy in the sense that if you're going to go on a show and then make accusations like that, don't you think you should be a little prepared?
No.
With some type
examples?
Of example?
No. No, that's
I mean, you know
that's,
somebody's going to ask you that.
That's the problem. Up until now, you could just make the accusations and people would roll over. But now, finally... I think we're at that point where people make accusations. It's like, okay, well, show me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And no matter what your thoughts are of Elon, why is it that poor Elon has to be the one to point everything out right now? I mean, like, isn't there anybody else?
No, he's having fun with this. I think he's turning this into the X app. Actually, as of yesterday, I believe
it is.
Twitter is no longer Twitter. And
yeah.
X
well, it's still Twitter, but it was absorbed by his new parent company, which is the company is called X. And supposedly everything potentially is supposed to be wrapped up under that umbrella. So Tesla, SpaceX, all that are going to go under the new brand of X. But the whole idea that and Elon said from the very beginning, obviously, he was trying to protect free speech and all that stuff, but he ultimately said that the purchase for Twitter was to turn it into the one app, like WeChat in China, where you don't need to ever even leave that app because it will do
or
everything.
Or your home.
Well, yeah.
Or your brain.
Yeah. Well, and then that was the next level. Then he's talking about AI and he's talking about neural net, and he's like, you know, ultimately his goal, you will be, if you can think it, as fast as you can think it, you will already have the answer in your head.
Yeah. The new AI tools are pretty wild already.
Yeah.
I saw they did put the notice out there to pump the brakes on it, and I wish that were possible.
I was going
to
say.
It's like, even if we pump the brakes, I'm like, what's going to stop all these other
That's what I heard, is that they all said to pump the brakes, but the genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah. So the Twitter thing's been interesting to watch, because also this week, was it this week or end of last week, some of those news organizations, quote-unquote, got their new updated involuntary badges where, so NPR, Voice of America, the BBC, and one other.
ABC?
No.
No.
They all got their little badge that said government-funded media. You see that?
Is that a new law? Or is it required?
So NPR was given the tag government-funded media. BBC was given the tag government-funded media. And they all started crying.
Who made them do that?
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't see that.
Oh, really?
They just did it.
On Twitter.
Yeah,
on Twitter.
It was on Twitter, yes.
Oh, okay.
It was on Twitter.
I thought you
PBS.
Meant,
PBS was
P-
the
it was
one.
PBS. That was the American.
I thought you were saying anytime they broadcast of any kind, it has to be a tag.
In their Twitter profile now at the top.
It says that it's a government.
Government-funded media. Yeah. And so NPR immediately said, well, we're not going to tweet anymore.
Bye.
So goodbye.
Fine. Okay. Have fun. God bless.
I think PBS did something.
Yeah, I think we could use a little bit more of that kind of transparency, honestly. Like, a lot of the information gets tilted by who feeds them.
So
getting the money.
So let's get into that now. So Brandon,
yes,
you started a new little project.
I did, yeah,
and it's called.
Why you
it's
already
called
have 500.
Shasta Sentinel.
Shasta Sentinel.
It's a new news brand that we're spinning out of Reading Buzz into its own separate entity. We are going to be providing a new take on local news. We just see that from all of our time and helping the community on Reading Buzz and talking to so many different people, we heard a lot of stories. We heard a lot of information from people that we felt like was not being represented. And everybody, there was a lot of people complaining that their voices weren't heard. And then after we started watching and looking more into what was being published in the media, we noticed that there was a huge gap. So we felt like we wanted other people to step up. No one stepped up.
So we decided to do it ourselves. Yep.
And we talked to the audience of Reading Buzz, and they felt like it would be a good idea to do it on a separate brand, and I agree with them. Plus, Reading Buzz has got, it's pretty saturated already. We already do about 20, 30 posts a day, so I don't even know where we would squeeze those in. So it would be really the goal is to provide a platform where we can accurately represent whoever it is who's talking, and making sure that both sides are represented, and not putting all the spin filters and opinions on everything on top of everything else. We're not here to tell you, like,
this person's good or this person's bad.
Yeah. You're not here to tell you what to think.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We don't know for sure. We're still
trying to figure out the truth for ourselves. James will gladly
tell
you. But Enjoy News, the new brand coming out now.
Yeah. We just want to help, people who basically are trying to get information out and can't, we want to be able to give them a voice. People, if we have some, a lot of, people in the community have questions that they want answered. So we're going to go try to figure out, step by step. Okay, well, to answer that question, we need to
talk to these people.
Yeah. What information do they have?
The format, though, will it be like Reading Buzz? So is it coming across in that kind of small bite, or is this actually like a website?
We're going to have a website. There will be articles as well. We're probably going to build it out of Reading Buzz to start to keep it simple as we kind of are bootstrapping this. Mm-hmm. We have our own social media channels. That's where it's going to really differentiated at first, then there'll be more articles. And then, it's going to be a little bit more of a short form news where we're kind of building out the journalism piece by piece so people can kind of follow along the process as we ask one question, get it answered, get another interview, get it answered.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
Enjoy can be your AP.
Ooh.
James is going, no.
We can help.
I don't know what that is.
Associated Press.
Resource. There's so many acronyms.
So that's pretty good. So Shasta Sentinel, how did you come up with that name? Sentinel. I mean, that's
Sentinel,
kind of
strong. Yeah. Well,
Sentinel. Do you want to hear some of the names we struck down?
I don't think I do, knowing you guys.
What is the definition of Sentinel?
Sentinel is a watcher or a guardian.
Yeah.
And it's something that is kind of personal to me. Ever since I got to Reading and Shasta County, I was immediately in love with it. I moved here from L.A. 6 years ago and felt like it was such a gem of a place. I've been traveling all over for work for many years, for 10 years. And when I came here, I felt like Shasta County has such a special place here. The community is amazing. The people are really connected. But I have definitely noticed, and being from the media myself, I came from the Hollywood sphere, and every single job that came into town, And I work. They would call me up and see if I could work on this position or that. And every single one of them was a hit piece on Shasta County. Every single one. And that was very frustrating to me. And then when I looked at some of the local media, there's a lot of negativity on like the Shasta County. And that was troubling to me because, like I said, from my perspective, it was really the best place I'd ever visited. So really, Shasta Sentinel, the reason why that name is there is because we aim to basically be that defender, that guardian of Shasta County, and the voice of those people who are not being heard.
So when does this launch?
It's already launched.
It's out right now. You can see our first post.
First post is up. There's going to be many more to come. We're going to start off, you know, at a, you know, probably about a post or two a week, try to ramp it up as we go.
Excellent. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
One more project.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Just throw another one in the pile.
Right. Okay, well, let's take our first 2-minute break.
I forgot we had time here.
I know, right?
I was lost in space.
This little thing called time. Time and space. And we'll be right 2 minutes. See you back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Happy, like happy, that. Joy, joy music.
Billy Joel. Back,
Nigel and James. And James, what did you say the date was?
April 12th, okay. Wednesday,
okay.
2023.
Hump day.
So we have Brandon, Yvonne, and Garrett. And Brandon, we were just talking about the Shasta Sentinel.
Yep.
And so what I've noticed around the country is that there's a number of, you know, people like you, probably a couple thousand, who are like, we're not going to take this anymore. We're going to flip things around. It's been a very interesting time. 3 years.
right. Interesting is an understatement.
It's been a very interesting 3 years. So I don't know where you guys stand, where you think things are, but I'm always of the opinion that if you want to know what's happening now, you need to go back in time. Right. So
you have a time machine?
I do. It's called my iPhone, mate.
I was like, knowing Nigel, he's probably got one like in his garage or something.
Well, we all do. You know, it's kind of funny because we all have this.
True.
Now. We're
all plugged in.
You know, and we can surely go back in time, even just a few years, even if you go back in time 5 years or 6, 7 years, to see what, to, kind of have an idea of what's going on now.
What blows my mind, and I was just thinking this the other day.
It better be good, James.
America is, like, in my opinion, on its, unfortunately, it's in its decline. And if you look, when you say going back in history, every civilization that's ever existed on Earth has had a point where it reached its pinnacle and then it declined. And yet, as a human species or race, we cannot seem to avoid that crash.
Yeah.
We just, I mean, it's like, and there it is staring you dead in the face a thousand times over, every civilization that's collapsed, and they all follow the same pattern. And it's like, how hard is it for you to look and go, we should probably avoid that?
So this is just going to be my take. But in order to figure out what's going on now, you've heard it said over the last couple of years, like you're watching a show, mm-hmm. right? Have you heard that? Like you're actually watching a show.
It's good television.
And how many times have you heard Donald Trump talk about people and say, oh, look, looks like he's out of central casting. He's used the word central casting a number of times, right? And say what you will about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He doesn't really do many things by accident, right? So when he says central casting, you know.
He means
you central casting. He means central casting, right? And so
like the Spook Talent Agency.
Well, it's funny. Have you looked into the CAA?
Got family in there.
CAA and looked.
Why we know of? Yeah,
there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Creative
you're married,
art.
You're was married it? To the CAA.
I don't want to say too much, but I'll say that we live in a different time period now, right?
Right.
This is the era, and maybe this is my perspective coming out of media, but this is the era of psychological war.
That's right.
All war is all fought this way now. It's better to not be visible as an enemy. It's better to be invisible. It's better to turn people against each other and be in the shadows.
Right.
And we are, if you can tell, if you look at the state of America and how much the division has turned into near civil war level fighting, where people can't even have civil discourse. This is not the result of an accident. This is a result of applied.
Well, so I
and new military theory.
And the nice
new
thing
military
is the
theory.
Land's left without radiation.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is.
It's also the only way to take over a country with a lot of guns.
Yeah,
you got to demoralize them to the point where they actually take on each other.
Yep.
It is actually a military operation.
It is.
So how many of you remember? I happen to this is. When I say go back in time, I would say at this particular point in time, whether you like them or not, one of the more important speeches would be Donald Trump's inauguration speech.
Yeah.
And to actually now go back and look and listen, right?
Didn't listen to
his speech. And to actually pay attention.
Didn't like him then.
To actually pay attention to who's standing behind him, right? And that was the United States military.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Carl Schwab.
But the United States military was standing behind him.
Yeah, and a lot of deep military intelligence from every branch. Yeah,
But they weren't just regular military people, right? You could tell by the bands on their hat, right? So one of them was a military judge, right? And the other one was there was a few there that was I think was the attorney. Right? Military attorney, military judge. And when he said, and you've heard him say this many times too, we caught them all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, big trap.
Big trap. So one thing I didn't know until recently, because you can go back and check, is that United States has actually been under a continuance of government since 2017.
At least I believe there's evidence that.
Well, the paperwork's there, right? So you can go and check this out.
Yeah, there's news articles that were written, especially during that final stage, like right after the election ended until January. There was a huge major shakeup at the DOD at the very last second, and he installed, if we're talking about psychological warfare, he put the people in the military who are the very best, we're talking like Ezra Cohet Watnick, who is like top counterterrorism, and not just regular terrorism, but we're the type of insurgency that we're facing, kind of terrorism. And put that, that person as Undersecretary of Defense. You put another guy as the head of the DOD who was in charge of irregular warfare or low-intensity conflict. And then they rewrote the continuity of government orders, had those guys rewrite it. And then that's essentially, it looks like the plan was executed. So whatever they did in place, it looks like they potentially set up a continuity of government order that would basically lay a sort of a trap, probably right on the election.
Yep.
And
but
and,
I work
with this, so I'm used to it.
No, we see eye to eye here. But
I'm fascinated.
Yeah, I can see James. He's like,
I'm like a,
it's, I want to lick your eyeball.
Yes,
and I'm processing. What is he saying?
So what I find interesting though is that it ends March 2024.
Really?
So we have from now.
Can
until
you give just very quickly a brief description of what that is? what did you just say?
In layman's terms. Layman's terms, the military is running a government.
Yeah.
Right.
And Donald Trump put that in place.
He's the commander in chief.
Remember when Biden's administration went. Was transitioning, and the only team that didn't transition him was the DOD. So when there's a continuity of government order, basically authority of the – it's basically like these continuity of government orders were originally written when there's like a nuclear holocaust or something like that. Right. And it like wipes out the president.
Uh-huh.
There's a secret plan that they open up, and it basically says the powers of the president has been dispersed to these parties. And it's a kind of secret way to keep the president thing going. But we live in a time period where instead of the nuclear attack, I believe they rewrote the continuity of government orders to basically be like, if you take down the president through illegal, like let's say an election fraud or something like that, right? But I think that then these continuity of government orders would unseal, and then the powers of the president would transfer to certain military people.
So from what I understand, the continuity of government actually happened 3 days after Donald Trump took office.
Yeah.
It kicked into place. Yeah. Do you remember those images of Trump and all of his military peeps around the table?
Yeah.
Like, that's still one of the more iconic images I remember seeing, like all those guys, and he kicked everybody out and said, cool, let's go.
Yeah.
So in other words, what I'm trying to say, in my opinion, I have a lot of hope that all of this is planned out, and I firmly believe that your country is being dismantled brick by brick all the way down to the foundation until you say no more.
Yeah.
And thankfully, unlike any other country in the world, the foundation of the United States is your Constitution, your Declaration of Independence, right?
It's saying yours. You're here.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Yours, too.
I know. You
make me feel like you can get out, and we can't.
Yeah, I know. It's like, no. See you guys later.
I know.
Second something happens, he brought the off-road truck, and something's going on.
And, actually, part of your law is your King James 1611.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bible, right? We made the mistake of putting that in religion, but have you noticed that when you go to court, you put your hand on the Bible and you swear the Bible?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because it's still part of your law.
Yeah.
It's your law, right? And so I'll end with this. I'm always fascinated with quite a few Americans who are born here. They know their Constitution, but they don't know who they are within the Constitution. It's one thing to know.
That's why I keep saying your.
Yeah. Hmm. But you need to know who you are as an American, especially as an American born person, who you are within the Constitution. And I think a lot of people are waking up now. We've had this conversation.
We have.
But once you wake up thoroughly to who you are within the Constitution,
how come somebody hasn't funded a school to teach people that want to?
Well, they don't.
They have, but then they get blown up.
They get
blown
up.
They don't want you to figure it out.
They don't want you to figure this out.
I'm like, this shouldn't be something you're taught.
Well, same with taxes. They should teach you taxes in school, and they don't.
No, you don't need that because you don't want to pay them.
Well,
I'm just trying to.
So anyway,
I'm always fascinated by stuff like this, and I go, God, nobody knows. Nobody. Tells
well, he
you,
knows.
Nobody
yeah.
He knows.
Well, I know.
He
but
knows. I've been down the rabbit hole.
I think there's an awakening.
Certain people.
I think there's an awakening coming.
There's a big awakening happening.
Yeah. There's a big awakening coming.
You know? Yeah.
I need like a televised crash course. I mean, like I need to sit in front of a TV and have somebody.
We'll get you one of these. We'll get your book. Will have coloring sections in it, James.
Mm. But I happen to believe that this is one of the most amazing times to be alive. I think what we're about to see here.
I mean, I think it would be super cool to see something happen that would just be like absolutely just mentally mind blowing, and the country.
Well,
just
I'm
like
not quite sure.
Shaken to its core in some way that brings.
Well, it's
positivity.
Happening now. It's happening now. The only thing is that we've been so bombarded for the last 3 years with, everything that. At some point, you just tune
distraction.
Out.
Distraction.
Because
so,
I love
you
movies
know,
that have like,
you know, we were kind of joking around.
Plot twists.
We were kind of joking around about this a few weeks ago. Like, you know, right now, a UFO could land here and a bunch of aliens get out and come out. And we'd be like, yeah, you know what?
Seen it. What else you got?
That's it.
Come on.
I'm kind of bored. Come on.
I think my thing would be like, take me with you.
Yeah.
I'd be like, can you give me something cool that I can,
And one last thing before we take our next break. Have you noticed that yesterday, all of a sudden COVID-19's over?
Yep.
Yeah. All of a sudden, okay, we're done with that.
More masks.
And that's funny because I know five people right now that have COVID.
I wonder what the new thing is going to be.
I know, and I'm like,
bird flu.
Bird flu. Oh, they're bringing an old one back.
You know what? But look into this whole thing. That's just like this. Really, it's. I don't know if it's the thing, but I keep getting it. That there's this horrible fungus that's in the U.S. right now. That's
in Michigan.
That's spreading everywhere.
I heard about that.
Yeah, it's spreading from Michigan into Ohio right now.
Yeah, really. And I don't know what it does, but I guess it's bad.
It travels in hospitals.
Yeah.
That's what they were saying.
Another reason to not go to a hospital.
What's that one video game that just turned into a TV show?
The Last of Us.
Yeah, it's like The Last of Us. Like,
really?
Pretty much that plot point.
Yeah.
Pretty much it's a fungus.
It's exactly like the story. Yeah.
Fungus Among Us.
Fungus Among Us.
There you go. Okay, tell you what, let's take our next 2-minute break and we'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Wake me up before you go.
Do I need to start talking? Brandon's got to move.
He's just happy.
I think you should change the name to Shasta Mover.
No, because people think we're a moving company. They'll call us up. They work to get the van out.
There's good money in that.
Look at him. He's so light on his feet.
There's so many people doing that right now.
He's a Hollywood boy.
That's a saturated market.
Nigel and James.
Yes.
And friends.
And friends.
Crew.
What's the date again?
Why are you waving for Shasta to screw?
Oh, we just went off the air.
We just went off the air. That's great. Oh, are we back on?
No, we're on.
We're on. Okay. I'm like, the end is near. Yeah. We got shut down.
I know. Right. It is April 12th.
That would be terrifying.
A Wednesday, 2023.
I'm like,
there's a shut.
There's a shutdown right there.
Okay, good. What's next?
It was just a blip in the radar.
It was an EMP above us.
So we're just kind of having a fun show about what's going on, Shasta Sentinel, and where we're at. I didn't get any calls for the tickets for the Dalai Lama children's matinee.
We're not going.
Oh, no. I thought you really had tickets.
The tickets kind of suck, so.
Good one.
Goodness.
Atta girl. That's my girl.
That was the line of the line.
She
of the
has one-liners that come out every once in a while that are just kind of like, up, oh, there, calling
for there it is. Calling, oh, there
no.
it is.
Nope, we're sold out. We're sold out.
Sold out.
So let's go on to some lighter news. So,
Reading Fashion Alliance.
Reading Fashion Alliance.
So we've been working with the Buzz Crew this last couple weeks, and they put together an amazing video, a promo video right now, and then we are taking the actual video to our program or event that we're having on the 22nd, Saturday the 22nd, from 4 to 8 p.m., and it's a Project Runway style event. So, but it's all upcycle. So the sustainability, talking about what's happening in the world, sustainability is very evident right now.
What's happening in the world, Yvonne?
Well, we need to hang on to what we've got.
Yeah. People are hurt with the economy. We got to be resourceful here.
Exactly.
You have to learn how to make your own clothes.
Well, I have bags of old clothes, so I'll
Nigel will be good.
Yep.
Anyway, the Reading Fashion Alliance is having this beautiful event at the Atrium, April 22nd from 4 to 8. We invited vintage clothing stores, markets to the event as well, because that's all about ethical choices in our apparel. And they're going to be doing the runway show to open with their models, and then we go right into the contest. So it's going to be amazing.
And if you don't know what Project Runway is, it's a show on one of the channels where it used to be, I think, Heidi Klum, which is she's a supermodel.
Like, and Jim Dunn.
And then, yeah, Jim Dunn, and who was a designer, and then they always have designers. But anyway, they bring in this cast that comes in, and they follow them through many projects, so they're given challenges. They have to follow those challenges in their way as an artist, and then they do a fashion show, and then, of course, everything's critiqued, and then if you don't make it, they cut you, and you have to leave the runway. So it's in that vein, but these are local designers, and they're being tasked. The task with them is to be able to put together a outfit that is
From a thrift shop or fabric that's been upcycled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So actually, you know, learning how to make your own clothes, I mean, I'm a lost cause, but learning how to make your own clothes, especially for youth now, would probably be a very be a smart idea, right? So are you having the summer camps, right?
Yes, summer? We are. We have summer camps beginning in, I think it's the end of May, first part of June. We're marketing it through the recreations, the City Recreation Guide, and we have those camps at our facility right on Placer and Market, 1698 Market. But you can find the summer camp, the curriculum online with the Reading Recreation.
Yeah.
And Reading Buzz, are you guys going to be?
We'll be there.
Promoting the summer camps.
And I will say this. I've seen some of the – I've seen, like, the process of some of these garments. Oh, my goodness. Like – there's one lady, she got this beautiful dress. She's like, oh, this was a tablecloth. I'm like, you could have fooled me. Absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
You're some very talented
incredible
people.
Yeah. You got a really great lineup of contestants.
Really good cast.
Yeah, I love all the people.
Like a cafe tablecloth with the red and white checkers?
Well, the thing that's crazy about it is...
Not gingham.
No, it was just a white tablecloth, and she was like, well, it had a big stain on it. So I did this chemical, but then it turned, like, purple. And then I used this other chemical, and that got rid of it, and I made this dress. I was like... Oh my gosh, it's wonderful.
It had a huge beef gravy stain right in the middle.
No, there's
don't
some really,
waste food.
There's some really, there was some really.
I love all
people.
Their different creative designs and different perspectives they have going into it, and some of them are going very. Yeah, it's just everybody's got to check it out. It's a really, really cool cast and really great creativity.
So you can go to Reading Fashion Alliance and, I guess, log through into Eventbrite,
Eventbrite,
buy tickets. And
tickets are $25.
Yeah, and that and again, there's going to be pop-ups there as well. Vintage clothing stores from around Reading, they're selling items, and it'll just be super cool because it's nothing that's ever been done like this here. Yeah. And
we're serving craft beer, Bernsini wines.
Oh wow!
Some food.
Well, now Garrett's going to be there.
Nice. I'm working. I'm with Red and Buzz. I have to be there. I don't have to be there when I want
to. So they've been shooting for
quite
a while, and the Buzz crew has been doing the editing and getting shooting and editing. But I guess you're saying that it's done, completed, and posted as far as the trailer?
The promo.
There's going to be more. There's going to definitely be more coming, but definitely check out the promo. It's a really good sample of kind of the energy of different characters.
What you can expect.
Yeah. And you'll see future videos be coming out to kind of really get more behind the scenes of get to meet these designers and kind of see them start their work, and then you'll get to see the completed work if you
so
come
we
to
haven't,
the event.
We haven't seen the show. Obviously, things get filmed before mm-hmm. they happen. Is there anybody that has anybody died yet?
We did. Well, we'll
a pair of scissors
we
in the neck.
This is Project. You said Project Runway.
I think we lost a mannequin. There's one mannequin down.
There have been some mannequin fatalities. Unfortunately, we did lose one head. But no one's died, and there's no real drama.
Some
but
people's
it's
you know fun. Sewing machines got all tangled, and they fell behind on their work. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, see, I would not do well with sewing machines.
Well, here's the thing: I think it would be funny if we did like a celebrity one, and like they forced us to do it. Because I wouldn't know what I mean. It would be fun.
Harder with the trainer. I think you can pull out the modeling. Somebody will model, or somebody will design for you, Gary.
Oh no, I could. If I was to model anything, they would immediately lose and be in jail.
I've heard some of the designers decided to. Be
I was
there.
Designed to eat.
are their own models.
Yeah,
they chose not to use a model, but except
yeah, I think there's two contestants.
So Garrett, don't lick that tablecloth. So
that seems like a bit of narcissism.
So these the designers on April 22nd are most of the designers local, or are there any out of towners?
They're local.
Age group of the designers.
Oh gosh, I would say from early 20s to mid 60s.
Oh, good. So
it's a
nice,
good group. Yeah. Good
how many? Designer.
10.
Oh, there's 10.
Yeah. And every single one of them are just incredibly
So I've been actually given a position on the judge's seat.
Yeah.
So
which one are you on Project Runway? Are you the guy that
I'm Tom Ford.
Okay. He's not on there.
Oh. Who is that other guy? Isaac Mizrahi.
Mizrahi, yeah. You're Isaac.
So is it one and done? So, like, there's no, like, elimination?
Well, season one. Oh, I see what you're saying.
When we limit, it's like there's just a winner.
There's just a winner.
Yeah, there's just going to be a winner now.
Yeah.
So I get to talk bad about 9 people and then say, you're the best?
So you get to be the Simon of...
Exactly, yeah.
I think James would be in his element.
I'm going to actually steal a line from RuPaul instead of you've been cut, because that's the normal one, but like... You need to sashay away.
Well, there'll be one contestant that would really appreciate that.
You need to lip sync for your life.
Speaking
one
of
our contestants would love that.
Speaking of lip syncing, this is a good segue into something completely different. That Motley Crue seems to be on its last legs again.
Again.
And the guitar players. Suing the rest of the guy, Mick Mars, he's suing Tommy Lee and Vince Neil, kind of stuff, and made the allegations, which you can clearly see on the video, that on the last tour that they were mainly lip syncing everything.
Ouch! I mean,
that's what he was suing for.
No, he got cut out of the money. Apparently.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting how many of these big bands now lately that have been doing these big giant tours, these stadium tours, they're kind of cheating. You know, quite a few of them got busted.
Look at what ABBA just did. I mean, they just got paid a fortune.
You actually watch ABBA?
I like ABBA.
Well, I mean, you would know this, though.
It's all digital.
It's such a grueling schedule. You can do it when you're younger. Some of these bands are incredibly old. I think, what is Kiss? Are they all in their 80s or something? They're still
71, 70s.
You're like... Good Lord! Like,
and your voice changes.
I loved
as you age.
But I mean, I could see the temptation there. You know, you've been on the road for 30 weeks, and you're like, I ain't got it tonight, guys. Just throw a track on.
Yeah, but
I mean, give them a discount or something. I mean, just
throw the needle down.
Well, not that kind of band.
You'd be like,
what kind of needle?
Yeah, I was going to say, what kind of needle?
She was referring
on
to
a
record.
No, but don't you think like. This is vinyl. Like when you're done, you're done.
Yeah.
Don't go out and pretend you're performing live and you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Somebody needs to send a memo to Madonna then.
That's not Madonna. That's not the same person.
No,
I don't care who you are.
That is definitely a freak of nature, whatever that is.
We just watched a video that she put out the other day when we were at home.
Last night, we
both were looking. We just sat there with our mouths agape going, what? Is that?
What is that exactly?
That's actually a good poll question. What is Madonna? That like when you go to her Instagram or her videos and you say what? I mean, come on. I mean, especially you and me. I mean, we're about the same age.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when Madonna came out with her first bunch of singles? You know, like Virgin, blah blah blah, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And now you look at what that is, and you go, that's not.
Well, that again, looking back at history, I mean, what is it forming into? I don't know.
A lizard.
Well, there was a there was definitely a weird switch. Like there was
really
a
weird.
Same thing with Adele. Do you remember Adele?
Yeah. Yeah.
Adele in the beginning.
But you know what it is in Hollywood? It's that thing. It's just like when you have so much in your own mind power and success, you no longer have the desire. There's no normalcy and desire to function. It turns you into crazy.
Yes, but now that we're talking about
what are you gonna say?
Here's my two cents. When you get that big, you don't even live like a normal, relatable lifestyle, so you can't create relatable art. And then when you have hundreds of millions of dollars of label backing, you don't retain any creative freedom because it's not marketable.
Yeah.
I think that's
coming from a child.
He's a pretty mature.
He's pretty mature and he's pretty wise. He knows the business.
I know.
So does Nigel. So
I was.
You were on the road.
I was on the road. I was with
Vision
in L.A. and Hollywood for quite a long time with all these rock bands, and you've been you were there too.
Yeah.
And so I will tell
you were there.
And I was.
I was not there. I was.
I was in fashion.
I was in college.
Almost all of these bands, at some point, you got to make a deal, right? You got to make a deal. If you make a deal with, as Bob Dylan said, the great commander, if you make the right deal and you sign the blood, you get to go. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of this. Yeah. I feel like they also kind of, all, the people who, they don't really know that the rest of the world is not quite like that. They feel like, oh, wow, the whole world is just evil. So I guess we're just going to have to go with the program. Yeah. And I feel like they lose a lot of humanity.
Door number three.
No, like you said, you see that switch. The switch happen.
The switch.
It's just like the giving up of hope or something. I don't know. It's weird.
Is that it?
It's break cool. time.
Well, there you go. Hey. Break time. Okay, next 2 minute break.
We'll grab it.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Yes, it is.
Tell us more, Brandon.
Well, I think we see eye to eye. This is definitely an end of an era.
100%.
REM, do you like it?
Yeah, and luckily I feel like that there's more counterbalance, more light at the end of the tunnel than I think most people.
I'm actually going to believe Donald Trump when he says that the golden era is ahead of us.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to believe that.
Well, of course it is, because everything needs to be backed by gold.
Yes.
That was the message in the message.
So being I'm the authorized conspiracy theorist, so speaking of gold, so that's why they're not going to give up Arizona, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
That's where the gold is.
Yeah, Texas mm-hmm. has got a lot of it, too.
Okay, so we're talking about what's coming, the next trend, right? So, like you just said, 70s music.
It's making a comeback.
And if I'm not mistaken, Liam, you're the radio guy, you would know this, but if I'm not mistaken, still the single most popular format of radio is classic rock, right?
Sure.
I mean, how many times a day...
That was so good, James.
Do you want to do it again?
No, I got it out.
You're done.
How many times a day on the radio do you still hear freaking Journey, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or
three
Kansas
times.
Or Toto?
Gosh, we listened to that just the other day.
Aerosmith, right?
Kansas.
Yeah, it was. What was the song?
I can't remember.
Dust in the Wind.
Dust in the Wind.
Because I just felt like we're all just
I
Dust
loved,
in the Wind.
Was it Africa?
It's on my playlist.
Toto. Yeah.
So.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. So it's true, right? So I have a theory about that.
Well, it's just damn good music. It just makes you feel
good. Well, so back in the day, see, Liam is going to miss out on this, but back in the day when you actually had to go record music on a tape, mm-hmm. right? Depending on your budget, you got like one take.
Yeah.
And what you got is what you got, right? So that forced you to actually have to play. Like, you have to know how to play, right?
Yeah.
Now, you can just put on Pro Tools and record it 19 Same times time. In your bedroom and
then
just fine.
You splice. Oh, Lord. I know people who have taken the same 8-bar phrase, and they've done 90 takes of that and gone down to the syllables and spliced the syllables together to, like, make the perfect
that's
just, take.
That's
not fun. See, back in the old days,
I know.
Some of the bands I used to work with, I think Judas Priest was one, and Motorhead was one, they would all tell you that they had to save all their money to go get a block of studio time, and once that red light hit...
You had to go.
Whatever you got is what you got.
The beauty, though, of the new age of music is anyone can make really good music from their bedrooms for like $300 or $400. And so we're seeing almost like a renaissance of fusions of sounds and textures. And
Yeah, but then you got to try and play it live, you know.
No, I know.
Yeah,
oh, Lord.
That's where you're going to get hung up.
Well, so let me actually, after the show, I'm going to show you someone. I'm going to show you his NPR Tiny Desk concert. His name is Fred again. And I don't even like house music. At all. I actually can't stand house music. But
okay, we'll check it out.
Really, I'll show you.
What was your first concert?
My first concert was AC/DC, 1979, with Bon Scott as the original singer.
James?
My first concert was Kiss.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't remember what year it was.
1950s.
Incubus.
Long time. Incubus. Ooh. Oh, that was a good one.
Wow. Aerosmith, Montrose, and Mott the Hoople.
Montrose, amazing. With mm-hmm. Sammy Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
I have never been to a concert.
Well, there it goes.
It's a good treat.
It will show you exactly the difference in age and how the world is.
Yeah. Music is meant to be felt.
I would go to the symphony and stuff, but like my brother, my dad.
How sweet.
The symphony is incredible.
I love the symphony.
Well, no, it was wonderful.
That's a concert.
So then it would probably be the
Texas Austin Symphony playing Bach, Beethoven.
No, it would be the Austin Symphony.
That
would
have
been. I would have been like 10.
Don't be ashamed.
Beethoven
is where
my mom's big in classical music.
Classical is where it all started.
So yeah. So what's interesting is my dad worked security at the Frank Irwin Center in Austin from the 90s to the 2000s. Anytime a concert was played, they would have him go there, and mm-hmm. so he got to meet all kinds of people. We have photos, signed memorabilia, all kinds of stuff, and it was mm-hmm. he met like everybody, Michael Jackson, sure. you name it. So he would say that to my little brother. My little brother was like, "I want to go to concerts." So like, "Now I'll go to the symphony with mom." So I was 10. It was the Austin Symphony.
There's some good shows coming up. I don't have a schedule, but there's some good shows coming up at the Civic.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, some good rock shows. Go.
There's a lot of cool stuff that's popping up at the amphitheater out at Rolling Hills.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting the finishing touches on that place. So let me tell you what, they're getting some big names come into that thing.
Yeah. My first show was AC/DC. The second show was actually Ted Nugent, and then Judas Priest. So by the third show, I was like, you know, halfway deaf.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, halfway deaf, but it was gosh, amazing.
I could James just and I saw the Stones in
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 years ago, 15 years ago?
Yeah. When Seal opened for the Stones, yeah. Which I thought was a weird mix, but I mean, I loved it, right?
Yeah, it was good.
I've seen so many. I've seen Madonna multiple times. Speaking of Madonna,
never seen Madonna.
She does a good show. What else? I've seen David Bowie, Susie and the Banshees.
Wow, wow.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like all kinds of stuff. I'm trying to remember them all.
See, we were definitely in different.
Then I followed the Dead for a while, and nearly died.
We were in different categories. For me, it was more like Metallica, Slayer in the garage. Mm-hmm. Right?
I always appreciated the bands, but I never went to, I mean, other than Kiss, I never went to much more of that kind of thing. Well, I've seen Pat Benatar. Well,
how about you, Yvonne?
I've seen the first one. Yeah, the same as what he's seen. I just saw like Phil Collins and stuff in, you know, small little venues, and but in Hollywood. Yeah,
I saw Kiss at the Troubadour. That was
The Troubadour.
Well, Kiss is still touring. I reckon
we
go
Bonnie
do it.
Raitt. I mean, we've
got.
Oh
yeah, Bonnie Raitt.
Let's do it, Brandon.
But
you
we go
make
to
a
the
bus trip.
Symphony and the opera. And, I mean, we like music.
Yeah, we do.
Let's switch this around because we've got a few more minutes left. What's going on with Reading Buzz? Any new restaurants? We always like to talk about food because I'm getting hungry.
We have a couple of new places. We have Togo's that's getting ready to open.
Yeah,
they're open.
Sandwiches over on Market.
They're open.
Oh, they are open now. Oh,
yeah, my sister
then
got
they
a
are
sandwich.
Open. Excuse me. Then they are open.
I got a 3-footer.
It's near Holiday Market on
yeah,
Placer.
Yeah, Holiday Market over there. We have a matcha donut that's opening up pretty soon. Which
matcha donut?
That seems pretty interesting. It's going in at the old cheesesteak place over there off of Hartnell by American Tire.
Yes.
So that's going to be
really
interesting.
Okay.
They kind of teased us a little bit. They sent us a picture of like what their dozen's going to look like. Mm. We posted it. People were going nuts. When can we get this?
That was cool looking.
We reached out to them in the corporate office and said, we were just teasing you guys. We still have a little bit of time, but you guys will be the first people we let know when those doors open up.
Is it a chain?
It is a chain.
Okay.
But I think the closest one, maybe like Fresno. Or something like that. This is their furthest, like, north. Mm-hmm.
I ain't driving to Fresno for a donut.
Well, yeah, no, it would be a horrible.
It's called matcha donut.
Matcha donuts.
Oh, I have to look that
up. And
it's like your papa.
And then
hush.
Someone who's doing really good breakfast specials right now. And I absolutely love going to this place. Not only is it a great vibe, but it's great food. Regis Kitchen on Hartnett.
Is it just me or does Reading have like so many restaurants per capita?
We do.
A lot. We're actually one of the highest.
Are we really?
Yeah. People love to eat.
Why do you think we're successful?
Well, look, it works great. No, it works great. I'm just always so astounded by how many restaurants there are. And like, yeah, I don't know.
If you come to Reading and you need a new business that will never be overly saturated, get into the food business.
Get into the food business.
Yeah. That's true.
It's a love rotation. They still want more options, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Not even close to saturated.
Still looking for a good Spanish restaurant.
Yeah, we could use more. Yeah, we definitely
we do have a Mediterranean restaurant that's trying to get up here. Some things have been just the way the markets and stuff have been, but they're still trying to come up. And then, of course, we're going to get our
the nicher the better.
Yeah,
yeah, there's like
we had in that same almost that same place. I don't know over there where this matcha donut's going. We used to have I don't remember what it is. We did a story on them. It was a Brazilian restaurant. And it was that place where you could go and you'd
cut the meat off.
Oh, it was a steakhouse? Like the Brazilian steakhouse?
Oh, my Lord.
See, that
was incredible.
It was incredible.
You'd go sit down and they'd bring a skewer to you.
A little chimichurri sauce.
I can tell you're all getting excited because you're all talking at the same time about food.
That would kill here. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
We really don't have any type of Brazilian food.
I would think it would, but it didn't make it. They were there for a while.
I'm sure maybe there's some restaurants right now that are like having a hard time and they're falling on hard times and you need to switch the direction. So here you go, some free advice. Brazilian,
I think, would do really, really well.
Right?
Well, this is a meat-eating area, so, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It was all meat.
Slightly carnivorous, right?
Mm-hmm. Very carnivorous.
I think they were just a little before their time. It's funny how places change, right? Like Bry's Market.
Yeah.
Brilliant now.
Oh, that was...
just a little before its time. And it's like, if you just can't hold on, you can't do it. But quite often, you'll see something started. It's struggles, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah.
You know, trend changes and people go crazy. And
any others? Is that it?
That's pretty much it right now. And then of course, we're hitting the old favorites, Taste and See, Cinders. Did I say Rita's? Yes, I said Rita's.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm big on Rita's right now.
I actually tried that.
Look
Indian
at your
food
PR
truck.
List carefully.
You know this Indian food truck?
Who? Oh, yes.
Yeah, the Indian,
Yeah.
That Indian
I did
food
there
truck
the
that's
other
on the
day.
Side of the road in Cyprus. I finally stopped there, and it was really good.
Yeah.
So Greek food.
Yeah. Greek would do really
well. The show's going to end, but we're going to continue talking about food. See you next week, California.
See ya.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.